Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and need a sickle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-1-2, but give me my rocket bicycle for two. And that's today. It's Wednesday, September 7th. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have a live guest in the studio, Lingen.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for coming in today. Lingen, I'm not sure how to introduce you, so many different hats, but I invited you to come because I was really interested in learning about your experience working in the restaurant industry, especially like the 9 years you spent in Northampton working at Zen. And there's lots of other things, too, that we'll get to later in the show. A couple of announcements I want to mention. Well, this isn't really an announcement, but if you happen to hear last week's show, where I kind of went on for a while about this, I started by talking about this heliport that I saw in New York City when I was getting on the megabus, and it's like right next to the multi-use path, and just like the fumes were intense, the noise was intense, but particularly the fumes, and right next to this walking biking path, and I thought that on the wall it said VIP heliport, and I was just like, I did this whole spiel on the radio about VIP, like who thinks they're so very important that they can just like fly in a helicopter anywhere they want, whenever they want, everybody else be damned. Anyway, and then the next day after, so I did my show last Wednesday, and then the next day, Thursday, I was on my trash and recycling route, and in someone's paper recycling, there is a map of New York City of Manhattan that fell out, and I was like, where is that heliport? I just want to not like it, and I looked, and it's there on the map, and it says, Zip Aviation Helicopter Tours, ZIP. Well, I don't really care if it says ZIP or VIP. I still don't like it. So I just wanted to update listeners on that. Oh, yeah, last week's show isn't on the archives yet because Alex is out of town and he's got the computer with a magic password on it. But hopefully last week's show will be archived by next week. What else? Oh, another announcement I wanted to make. Just wanted to remind people that tomorrow, September 8th, is Election Day. I'm not sure everything that it's for. I know for a sheriff, Ward 3, also to replace Ellen Story for the state rep in the Amherst district. If I was voting in Amherst, I'd vote for Vera. Vera Duomini Cage. But there's... Anyway, I don't know who else is running. And do I have any other announcements? We'll come back to more later as they come to mind. For now, I'm going to turn to Lingen. Do you want to say your name like you say your name in case I'm not saying it right?
Lingen.
Lingen.
Yeah.
Okay. It kind of reminds me of Linden Tree. Where are my notes? I lost my notes, but that's okay. So thanks for coming in today. How'd you get here?
I drove here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was your trip?
Oh, not bad. It's close. It's like a couple of minutes drive, so.
Oh, okay. Can you speak up? Okay, never mind. I'll adjust the volumes.
Okay.
For full disclosure, I met you because you applied to Pedal People, and... So we were doing the safety training last week, and it's like, wow, who is this guy? What is his experiences? So I'm kind of intrigued by the time that you spent working at Zen Restaurant in Northampton. You're there for, how long were you there?
9 years, almost 9 years.
Uh-huh. Working like full time or?
Yeah, way more than full time.
Wow. Like how much would you say?
for at least about 7 years, about 6-7 years. I work 6 days a week, 10 to 11 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, at least 6-7 years.
And is that pretty standard for what your coworkers were also working?
Yeah, yeah. Some workers from kitchen, they even work more than me because I have a break time,
uh-huh.
lunch break, like an hour and a half. And they don't.
Uh-huh.
So they work like 11 to 12 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That seem like very long hours. Do you know who decides that people should work that many hours in a day? Or day after day after day?
Well, it just, I don't know, just common, like every restaurant that you can find usually has that kind of hours.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we all find a job through job agency in New York City. Mm-hmm. So you're like in Chinatown. So if you find a job through that job agency, usually you got like more than one two agencies, but usually you ended up like work 12 hours a day and 6 days a week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Do you think that workers would want to work any less, or is there like financial, economic, you know, motivation demands?
Oh, they definitely want to work less, but they kind of like, we don't really have a choice, you know? Even you quit the job, you find another one, it still works 12 hours uh-huh. a day, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been working about 6 different states, like as south as Virginia, as north as Massachusetts. So like 6 days. The restaurant that I work over, like I work over about 15 different kind of restaurants, different kind of title, but
uh-huh.
and they are all same, pretty much same.
Yeah. Yeah, my father-in-law just started working at a restaurant in Kentucky, a Mexican restaurant in Kentucky, and
yeah.
it's just, he's in his 60s, I think, but it's like that same like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. with a 1 or 2 hour yeah. lunch break yeah. on your feet, washing yeah. dishes,
it's terrible.
6 days a week.
Yeah.
I don't think his relationship, I don't think he's going to be able to continue that for too much longer because yeah. his wife never sees him anymore.
It is, yeah. You basically, that's my feeling. It's like, you basically just live in a prison.
Mm.
You work 6 days a week and you have a day off. And you ended up, what do you do? Like, you do laundry, you stay home cooking, and then that's like all day what you do. And because you don't know anybody outside the restaurant, so you don't really go out anywhere. And yeah, it's pretty much like you live in a prison. You don't really have a life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And yeah. And most people feel that too, most coworkers. Yeah.
How did things start to change for you? Like a few things tell me how things started to change for you to be having like a different job today and
mm-hmm.
like. Well, okay. So, how did you make friends? How did you do anything else besides this? Because I know from your resume that you've done a bunch of other things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those things pretty much like the just recent like few years. Like before, like when I started working at a restaurant, at Zen, I don't really know anybody either, you know? And that's one thing that I always want to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got here, and that's one of the reasons I stay at Zen and this area for a long time, because I can go to school. So there's a center for new Americans, mm-hmm. which is a lot of restaurant workers, they go. It's in the morning before the restaurant opens. So we usually took the class there. And it took like 2-3 hours a day, 4 days a week.
So before 10 in the morning?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, before 10:30. We usually left like 30 minutes early or something. Uh-huh. Yeah, depends on the schedule. So that's how I started. Go to school. And that's the reason I stay here for a long time. And
So you're going to school like from 7 to 10 in the morning?
Around 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
8 to 10:30. Yeah, a restaurant could open at 10:30. So 8 to 10:30.
And then you're at the restaurant from like 10:30 to the morning till
2:10, 2:11, yeah.
At night,
yeah.
I'm tired just thinking about that. And then you get up, then you can get up at like 6 or 7 in the morning and think straight.
Yeah, because I really want to go to school,
and
that's what like pushed me to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of classmates that I know, they just quit. They couldn't do it. Uh-huh. They went like a couple of days and then they just couple of weeks and then they left. Uh-huh. It's just too much for them. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what kind of classes did you have at the Center for New Americans?
Just basic English class, mm-hmm. like conversation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How to make conversation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy. Like there are three levels from the beginner to the advanced. Uh-huh. So yeah.
So then what?
Yeah. And so yeah, my education really keep me here. One of the big reason I stay here. And after that, it took me about a year and a half. I graduated from Center for New American. And then I went to GED class, which is called the Literacy Project, mm-hmm. in Northampton. And
is that James House?
James House,
on
yeah.
Gothic Street, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It used to be across from the parking garage. Now they moved to James House.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I took class there. So there I spent like a year and a half, and I got my GED. And then that's how I like knew people, make some people outside the restaurant. Uh-huh. So I made friends. Uh-huh. And after that I went to Hotel Community College. There's a program called what's the name of it? Transition to College and Career Program. Uh-huh. So that's how I started a college course, which uh-huh. is like that's a class prepare you to go into the college level, taking the college level class. Uh-huh. And it took me about a year, two semesters, I believe.
Well, how did you have time for the HCC classes, considering you got the transportation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like an hour right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I work in a restaurant like at Zen for a while, so I asked them, because I have a 1 hour and a half break, lunch mm-hmm. break, so I asked them to switch my break in the morning so I can go to school mm-hmm. and then come back to work like an hour and a half later, come back to uh-huh. work. So they agreed. But they also want me to stay here, you know?
Uh-huh. So they agreed. Because they valued your work.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because so you'd been there for like 7 years or so by that time?
By that time, about three years.
About
3 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, that's how I start at the transition program. And that's about two semesters, and I started taking class at Hotel Community College first, and then later I transferred to Greenfield Community College. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I just recently graduated from Greenfield Community College. Uh-huh. With liberal art major. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
Yeah.
And like, how did you pay for this school?
Out of my pocket. So, and that's one of the reasons that I transferred to Greenfield Community College, because Holyoke Community College charged me out of state tuition because I don't have document. So they charged me as foreign student. Uh-huh. Doesn't matter, evening class or day class. So I couldn't afford it. It was like three times more than the state tuition, so I couldn't afford it. That's one of the reasons I transferred to Greenfield Community College, because I can take evening class with state tuition. Uh-huh. And yeah, huh. So that's why I transferred. And
okay.
that's also it took me a long time to graduate, because uh-huh. I can't take many classes because I had to work.
Right.
You know, in a restaurant, like evening is the most busiest time. So you had to be there. You don't want to go to class and then be missing the work. And they don't want you to do that, you know? So, yeah. It took me a long time to, huh. Yeah.
So you couldn't get in-state tuition at HCC even though you'd been living here and working here for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, and I pay state and federal tax.
Right.
But I still don't qualify for that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. WXOJ in Northampton. I'm Ruthie Widging, and I'm talking with Ling Ging, who lives in Northampton, and he's talking about some of his work in the restaurant business industry. So going back to Zen, so they valued your work and they wanted to keep you, and so they supported you to some degree, you know, giving you some flexibility with your schedule to go to school.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Pioneer Valley Workers Center. How did you get involved with that? Can you say what it is a little bit
first? Yeah. Pioneer Valley Workers Center is a nonprofit organization that based on Northampton, we try to build a relationship, connection with the workers in the valley, especially in Northampton, and build the power around them and try to fight for their rights, such as minimum wage, such as overtime, you know, all that for, yeah. We try to fight for that rights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of my coworker, Bass, she used to intern at the Pioneer Valley Worker Center, and then she told me about that center. That's how I got involved. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
About a year and a half. Yeah, not very long.
Did you have any idea what was something was going down with Zen when you first got involved with Pioneer Valley Worker Center? What was the situation like for you and your coworkers at Zen when you first got involved with the Worker Center?
The owner basically don't know anything about what we do outside the restaurant. So they don't know.
What kind of pay did you make?
I started in 2007, I make $1,600 a month, and after the restaurant closed, I made $3,000 a month.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So it's like a salary.
Yeah, it's like salary. Like, yeah, I don't know how to define it. That's how the restaurant job, the way they pay.
Yeah.
So you work one month, and then they pay you this much money. And then there's each week you have one day off. They support you a place to live, and then they give you a free food, free meals, three times a day. Yeah.
Sounds a little like prison.
Yeah.
So where did you stay?
I used to live in the workers' house, which the restaurant provide at what's that? State Street. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
With all the workers. And then...
can I ask which house? Or is it...
198 State Street.
Huh. All right. So you lived there for a while, and then...
Yeah. And then I... after I dating one of my ex, and we moved out.
Uh-huh.
And then after we broke out, and I decided to stay outside. I don't want to move back. Uh-huh. I want to have a privacy and freedom, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I never went back, although the owner tried to convince me to move back, which I don't like it.
Yeah.
He tried to control me. That's how I feel.
Then were you paying extra for rent, or did the owner give you a deduction or something?
No, I had to pay by myself.
You just paid completely extra?
Mm-hmm.
Rent's not cheap in Northampton.
Yeah, it's not.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little break here. I'm going to play a song. This is one of Ling Ging's requests. This is Nina Simone. If you just tuned in, thanks for listening to Out There.
Blue. is space, so soft and wondrous space. And the strongest hands. I love the ground unwasted. Black is a color. Yes, I love the ground where he goes, and still I hope that the time will come when he
That was Nina Simone. We're going to go back to talking with Lingang. We were just talking during the break when the song was playing a little bit about the Pioneer Valley Workers Center. And Lingang, can you tell me some of the work you were doing with them?
Mm-hmm, sure. One of the things that I have done is doing a survey with our restaurant workers. So the survey is about 80 to 100 questions about restaurant workers' working situation, like how many hours they work, how much money they make, and do they get overtime pay, do they experience sexual harassment, stuff like that. And we've been done by over 200 surveys of restaurant workers in Northampton, and we find out that over 60% of workers, they experience that the wage and no overtime pay, and many of them got scared of talk to boss about mm-hmm. like working situation because they don't want to get fired. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty significant about that. And most of them that things happen is back in the kitchen. And most of them are colored people without documents, and they are very vulnerable. And that's one reason that I want to involve with the Pioneer Valley Worker Center, because I feel that they support us, you know, they support workers, and they make us feel like there's a place in Northampton that we belong. Mm-hmm. That we belong to, you know. So yeah, it's really important for me to get involved with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you were doing the surveys, like, was it challenging to get people to share their stories? Like, were they sometimes scared of repercussions, or did they feel comfortable?
Yeah. The survey is anonymous, but even if it's anonymous, still some workers don't want to do it because they just get scared. They don't want the boss find out, oh, they're doing a survey for the worker center, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, some of them, they refuse to do that. And, yeah, and some of them, they would love to do it. But they just, yeah, after I, kind of explain to them, you know, you don't need to stay your name on it. You don't need a, usually you can avoid the restaurant name too. So yeah. Some people would love to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you actually find people that were willing to fill out the survey?
Yeah, I work in a restaurant for a long time, so I know what kind of activity, what kind of place they would show up.
Uh-huh.
Usually they would like smoking or playing soccer or do something back in the kitchen door, you know, outside the building.
Right. Uh-huh.
So yeah, I and then my coworkers like Bass and other organizers, we work out after the work. After get out like 10 o'clock, we walk around the town like back alley, behind the restaurant. You know, you can see all the people like chatting or smoking outside. So we give them the survey and talk to them. You know, try to have a conversation with them. Yeah, okay. They're very friendly, very nice people. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think are some of the things that Pioneer Valley Workers Center has been able to accomplish?
Mm-hmm. The survey, I would say that's one of the big accomplishments we did. We work with a UMass Labor Center to do the survey. So, yeah, that's a big thing that we find out. All the data that we find out about workers' situation. And one of the big things we also did is we're trying to pass a wage staff ordinance in a city hall, which is the bill is... links to the business license. So if the business owner like violate wage law or other like violations, their business license can be suspended for a certain time until they fix it. Mm-hmm. So it's very powerful bill that we trying very hard to try to pass in the city hall. But right now we haven't we still working on it and it's still on the progress.
Uh-huh. Like you're trying to write up the details of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or
and we also need a support from the city council.
Yeah.
So far there's only two city councils support the bill.
Mm-hmm. Can you say who they are at this time?
Maureen and forgot her name. I believe it's Lisa.
Yeah. Alisa Klein.
Alyssa, yeah, I believe this too, yeah.
Yeah.
And other not really support the bill, which is, make me mad.
Yeah, why do you think city councilors or people are hesitant to support it?
Well, a lot of them, I think they just view it as an unnecessary bill because they already have a law in there, wage law there. They see it as unnecessary. But in my point of view, because the law in there, nobody enforced. So we need a bill that we don't want to do that, but because the law is already break by the business owner, and then nobody enforced to try to fix it. So that's why we had to find another bill to do that, you know, to force that, to change, to fix. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's not only in here, it's in Boston, in Cambridge, in Burlington, many places there has been passed that wage that bill.
Do you think the people that don't support it think that it doesn't happen? Like the wage theft doesn't happen?
Some owner think that. And other, I would say they violate it, but they don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
You know, because they take advantage from the workers. Of course, they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
They don't want to change.
Yeah.
You know? And also... I've been involved with the media too, with a newspaper, and I feel that they try to cover it up too. They try to. I feel like in general, like people try to maintain a fake image of Northampton, like very progressive, very customer friendly town, you know. So they don't want that image to destroyed by us to reveal the real things behind the kitchen, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I feel that it's really make me mad too, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, sometimes I wonder with the price of rent and overhead in Northampton, like how can a restaurant make it at all? Is this like a feasible business? Like can a restaurant provide food that's like good food at a price that like maybe half the people can afford and still pay workers fairly?
I do, I believe. Just for very basic example, one of my coworkers, he make $1,800 a month. And I do the math, the boss steal like at least $3,000 from him. What? Just one worker, 1 month.
Wait, you mean he should have made $3,000?
He should have made like $4,000.
Yeah. $4,800?
Over $4,000.
So the boss stole over half of his...
Like, no, more than half.
Like two-thirds or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't do math under pressure of his pay. But.
Yeah, more than that. They make way more money than we ordinary people or customers can imagine. Mm-hmm. You know? We just don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't Haymarket now paying like... $15 mm-hmm. an hour or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, they still can support their workers and they still run the business, you know? Yeah.
That's cool. So so with Zen, so can you tell me about your final days at Zen restaurant?
Yeah, it was May 23rd, Monday. It's just normal day. And after work, after like 9 o'clock, after we had a dinner and then we clean up, and the boss told us that, oh, there's going to have a meeting upstairs. So there's like second floor. And so we all went out to upstairs and then sitting on a table like in a circle, and the boss in the middle, he said, so he told us, and he said that, he said, oh, the restaurant's closed. Unfortunately, I have to tell you that the restaurant's closed tonight and you all don't need to come to work tomorrow. Yeah. And then he tried to explain that, why he didn't tell us earlier, like, you know, so we can get prepared. He said there's like so many paperwork with a lawyer until the last moment. The deal is done. He's selling his business to another owner. So that's what he excused. So he said this until last moment, which means like this Monday. So he signed the new owner, signed a contract or something on a paper and then sell the business. And then he finally can tell us the restaurant closed.
But there's a lot of lives that are really affected by that.
It is, yeah, yeah. So a lot of workers, they live in the house where which the restaurant provides, so they have to leave in like 2 days.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So what did people do?
Well, they just basically just go back to New York and find another job, and most of them don't really have a saving, like $100 in their pocket or something, $200, that's all. Uh-huh. They had to leave. And after the news, like, report has a news on the newspaper, and the boss, I think he got scared. Uh-huh. So he bought a Peter Pan tickets for everyone in the house and tell them to leave.
For back to New York City?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they just don't want them to be here anymore. Uh-huh. He had to move out. Yeah.
Wow. Why do you think he didn't give anyone warning earlier? I mean, what kind of boss or owner was he to work under when you were working there?
He tried to pretend as a good person, good boss, and he always tried to say he's a good boss, you know, like do things for the workers and then fixing the house, make them live comfortable. In general, I would say he's not a bad boss that I met, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that he doesn't believe the workers, even though they work there like years. Like me, I worked there for 9 years. So they don't trust. Hmm. The boss don't trust the workers. Hmm. And they worry that if they tell the
workers that restaurant gonna close, they gonna leave, you know. They don't want to wait for the last moment. That's what I thought. Yeah. And I just can't believe of that, you know. Because yeah. we many of them work there for at least 4 or 5 years, you know. Yeah. We really kind of have a good relationship with them. And just, yeah, I just can't believe that.
Yeah.
And one of the worker servers, she was crying, and when she heard it, and the owner say, oh, and the owner tried to apologize to her, say, oh, I'm sorry I told you so late. And she said, no, I'm fine. I can find a job soon, you know. But I just worry those are kitchen guys. They had to leave, and then they don't know where to stay, and they don't have a job. They don't have money, you know. And one of the owners said, oh, no, they're fine. They'll find a job. They'll find a job, you know. Because most of them are undocumented, and they don't speak English. And the service, she's like American citizen, you know. So they treat people differently, you know. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just real sad that there wasn't more of a like genuine relationship there.
Yeah, it's just can't believe that.
So you had your own apartment.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Did you have some money saved up, or how did you deal with this?
Yeah, I have some money saved up, so I'm all right. Yeah.
And then how did you find work?
Through one of the colleague in the center, worker center, offered me a landscaping job. And yeah, that's how I started working landscaping. Yeah.
So you've been doing that part-time for the
summer? Yeah, for the summer, yeah. And I've been kind of traveling a little bit. Like, went to visit my sister in West Virginia, friends in Rhode Island, and another sister in New York. Yeah, it was fun. It's a nice summer.
Yes.
And I went to San Francisco this summer. Yeah.
Wow.
It was so cool.
Yeah. That's great. We're going to play another song here. What is this song? Oh, this is Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. We've been talking with Linging. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And thanks for listening.
Same old, same bed. Me.
That was Amy Winehouse. It was a request from Linging. We've been talking here live in the studio. Linging is a former sushi chef at Zen Restaurant, the now closed Zen Restaurant. Thanks for sharing about your experiences. Do you go out to eat, Linging, in Northampton?
Not really. Part of the reason I try to save money, part of the reason because I know a lot of restaurants, like stories about their horrible things happening in the kitchen, and I really don't want to go. Yeah.
So you work in landscaping now, and you just got hired as part of Petal People.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Yes, we're very excited to have you. I hope the cooperative nature, the cooperative business part of Petal People is good for you.
Thank you.
Petal People is definitely looking forward to your skills and personality and what you'll bring to it.
All right. I will.
Are you a big biker? What's your biking experience?
Pretty often, at least 3-4 times a day in town, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I hope you still like it after you've done Petal People for a while.
I do. I will.
Oh, I was also thinking about how, in the restaurant business, you've probably seen lots of waste, so maybe you'll be psychologically prepared for dealing with all the waste that Petal People deals with.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like trash is a crime, and I'm sort of an accessory to the crime. And when doing Petal People on some level.
It is. Wasting food is crime. That's how I felt. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You grew up on a farm, you told me. Mm-hmm. Your parents farmed. Oh, what was that like?
I didn't like it when I was little because I really liked to play. So usually I help my, I and my sister help my dad in the farm. Like we do weedings on weekend. And I always like wanted to go play. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's hard. Yeah. And he used to grow out rice field, like a few acres, and all by hand, no machines. It's really hot in the summer, like over 100 degrees. It's tough. It's a tough job. Mm. Yeah.
When you were a kid, what did you think you might do when you grew up?
Not to be a farmer. That's all the parents in the village said. You had to go to school, be a good student, and don't be a farmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking to become a writer and scholar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you write?
Not really, but I try to.
You wrote papers and stuff in school, right?
Yeah.
But you also like to take photographs, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love taking photos. Uh-huh. In fact, I just took a picture of you.
I didn't even notice. Too nervous. Let's see. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to add? Anything else you think listeners should know?
Yeah. About workers.
Yeah. Share it.
I wish that the whole community can support us to pass the Waste Debt Bill, which we are working on it. And it really would help a lot of workers to... So in my view, the bill would prevent owner to force us to work like over 12 hours a day because they don't want to pay overtime fee, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. So that would limit workers' working hours. Uh-huh. And so with that extra hours, they can build their lives, you know,
mm-hmm.
to have a life here, to be part of the community, to be assimilated to the society, not like living in a shallow behind the kitchen door
mm-hmm.
in a prison, have a life, that's just, I really want that workers to have, and they deserve it. They really deserve it. And I saw a lot of workers, they were working really, really hard. And they really don't have friends and have a life, It's yeah. really sad. And they deserve it, It's all good peoples. Yeah, that's what I want to say, yeah. what I want to add. Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, so to pass the wage theft Bill, what is it? Just well, what's the next steps? Is it just,
next step would be if the worker they find out that boss didn't pay them minimum wage or boss didn't pay them overtime or other stuff, they can report to us, and then we can, so we have the power to suspend their business license, so until they fix it.
So that, yeah, that's if that bill passes.
Yeah.
So is the Pioneer Valley Worker Center still working on writing some of it, or is it now just like working on trying to build support amongst the different city councilors who don't support it?
Yeah, we tried working on that to get support from the city council and mayor as well.
So should people call or contact their city councilors or the mayor saying, hey, can you support this?
Oh, yes. People should do that.
Yeah, and you said that Maureen...
Alyssa
Klein.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I can't remember Maureen's last name. Maureen Carney.
Okay.
Or Lisa Klein. They already support it. So all the other city councilors.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
Thank you.
One more thing that I thought of. You know, when we were out doing that training ride last week, and someone said, and you were hauling the trailer, and said, someone said something like, wow, go pedal people. You all work so hard.
Yeah. That's a woman. And when I stopped on the traffic light, the woman talked to me. He said, oh, sir, I really respect you. And that made me really happy. But also at the same time, I realized that there's so many people work hard back in the kitchen and we don't see them, you know, and they deserve that too. And yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. That's Ling Ying, former sushi chef at Zen Restaurant. Was there for 9 years before it closed suddenly one night. And the workers were told, go back to New York City or wherever. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. And here's another thing I wanted to mention. So this past Monday, that was like the 5th Labor Day, there was an event in front of First Church's Solidarity with Standing Rock. Stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. I would have recorded, except for my recorder is on the fritz. So that's why I'm really glad that Lincoln could come in for a live interview today, because I didn't have any recorder clips. You saved me.
My pleasure.
So the Dakota Access Pipeline, it'll transport 450,000 barrels of oil per day from the Dakotas to Illinois, and it'll cross over the Ogallala Aquifer and under the Missouri River twice, which could contaminate the primary water source for 18 million people. There's over 3,000 indigenous environmental protectors with representatives from over 100 tribes camped out at Standing Rock Sioux Reservation to block the construction of the pipeline and to protect the land and water sources of many future generations. It's very exciting what's going on there. I mean, exciting and terrible. A modern day example, really concrete example of the ongoing genocide of indigenous people in this country. Protesters are risking arrest, assaults, lawsuits, and even restraining orders for being present on their own land. And an injunction has been filed to stop the construction, which awaits judgment and already has an appeal date scheduled for September 14th, 2016. You can find lots more information online, but I wanted to mention that a little bit. I know Amy Goodman has covered it in Democracy Now! Some. And for people in Western Mass who work to stop the Kinder Morgan pipeline, it's the same thing again and again. And hope we can lend some support. I'm going to play this song. This is Red Eagle, MC Red Eagle with Song of Survival. I played it on a past show, but it deserves playing again.
We have to learn to maneuver through a linear society without completely losing ourselves in that greed, in my language, Naholo, a lover of things.
Maintaining our traditions, ancient knowledge in our hands. Lighting sacred fires, sustaining song and dance. Enduring all oppression, we would stand. This is a song of survival. Can you get with this? Indigenous revival, a movement of the people, a revolution tribal. Just another song of survival. Yeah, you say you're just living life, but do you remember where you're from? Do you acknowledge all your ancestors and the children yet to come? Have you gained or retained the knowledge that the old ones hold as sacred? The teachings of how to walk in balance, see clearly and release hatred. Why do we emulate what's popular in a society that wasn't built for us, or even with us in mind? So why do we participate in what's killing us? This one's for the artists, the poets, and our followers saving us. The b-boys and grappers, MCs and turntablists. The four elements are like medicine, a cultural empowerment. So keep your YOLO and swag and watch hip-hop devour it. The criticisms out of love for the things I know could be better. Ceremony is the key that unlocks knowledge beyond measure. See, I conjecture a change in the weather. Revolutionaries adorn feathers that have never been idle, manifesting coup through lectures. Colonization, assimilation, try to erase us from this nation. But we stand here strong, singing songs of creation. Raising up our fists, raising up our fists. Reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars. Defiant, we resist. Traditions, ancient knowledge in our hands. Lighting sacred fires, sustaining song and dance. Enduring all oppression, we would stand. This is a song of survival. Can you get with this? Indigenous revival, a movement of the people, a revolution tribal. Just another song of survival. Spirit over money, teachings over law, balance over power, yeah, the empire shall fall. Manifest destiny, capitalist exploitation of nature, self-destructive destiny, manifested through hatred. Be careful, you can become this, don't take this out of context. Impotent rebellion stemming from an inferiority complex. Young one, do what you want, please don't get defensive. Just know what you put in the world has definitive consequences. Change, activist, action is the start. Not by the movement of your mouth, but the manifestation of your heart. People say that they don't see us, there's no evidence we're here. But when they look at us, they don't see us, they're only seeing their own fear. No Eiffel Tower here, no ancient towers, none. But listen for our heartbeat, you can hear it in the drum. You can see us in the land, where you stand is where we're from. Been regaining ancient knowledge, and the best is yet to come. Raising up our fists, raising up our fists. Reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars. Defiant, we resist. Sustaining song and dance, enduring all oppression, we would stand. This is a song of survival. Can you get with this? Indigenous revival, a movement of the people, a revolution tribal. Just another song of survival. Knowledge beyond measure.
measure. Yeah, conjecture, we're changing the weather. Revolutionaries are doing feathers that have never been idle, manifesting coup through lectures. Colonization, assimilation, try to erase us from this nation. But we stand here strong, singing songs of creation. Raising up our fists,
raising up our fists.
Reaching for the stars,
reaching for the stars.
Defiant, we resist.
That was Red Eagle with Song of Survival. Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. Thanks for listening to Out There today. Archived editions of Out There can be found online at weatherbeer.com/out there. And I think that about does it for today.